Welcome to the Arcturian Ascension Process with Dr. Susan Lee.
Hello, this is the Arcturian Ascension Process, and thank you so much for being with us this evening. Today, I have a special guest, and I'm not sure I'm going to say your last name right, Maria, so can you tell me how to say that?
It's Falce.
Falce?
Falce.
Oh, okay, great. And the reason why I'm having Maria as our guest today is that she is living very much what I would call a fifth-dimensional life. And one of the things that's happening now is that we are getting very close to ascension. And my experience is that there's like little islands of light, that there are people that have allowed themselves to go with the flow and to create and accept the fifth dimensional reality into their lives. And more of us are doing that every day. So, Maria, yes. Would you like to tell us a little bit about where you live and about the property that you live on and all those wonderful things that are going on over there?
Sure. My husband and I live in Southwest Michigan with our daughter and many animals. We have a nice plot of land here, about an acre and a half, that we try and live as sustainable a life as possible, you know. And we raise some animals for food, and we raise a big organic garden, and we really just try and honor Gaia in every way we can possibly imagine.
Yes, and what made you decide to change your life in that fashion, or was your life always that way?
Well, it wasn't always this way. I've always had a deep love of our Earth, and I've always sought to embody that love and kind of embrace that love in most of my life, in all of my life. I can always remember that, but I didn't always live as simply, and I didn't always live as cleanly, and I didn't always live with as much love. It wasn't until, it was an ongoing process, honestly. It started probably 10, 12 years ago, where I was slowly embracing my own healing and my own path and starting to see that mirrored in our planet. And then it started really in earnest, very intensely, probably in August, with my own process drastically accelerating.
Mm-hmm. And how did you experience that acceleration in your body, in your life, in your thoughts, in your emotions?
Well, it's been a whirlwind, honestly. It goes up and down every day. But the most marked thing that I can remember or really convey is the reconnection that I felt.
Uh-huh.
And a reawakening of my ability, or actually just an embracing of my ability to hear my guidance, my higher self. Mm-hmm. I've heard it my whole life, but I don't think I ever really acknowledged it as truth. I think because of my upbringing, I just regarded it as my imagination or fantasy. And
right.
though I still talk to myself ardently every day of my life, I didn't really come to believe it as some sort, you know, that believe it as truth until probably last August, when my guide started talking to me consistently every single day, and we wrote a story together, and I really started seeing my life unfolding and opening and blossoming in a way that I didn't even consider possible before that. I started to see and acknowledge other realities occurring simultaneously. We jokingly call them my threads because, you know, I never know when a new one is going to pop in, and it'll just blossom into this huge, elaborate scenario, this, you know, story. We have a notebook that we call my threads, and we kind of try and keep track of all my little realities that are happening and, you know, what I'm learning from them. and bringing it back here into this realm, into this dimension, really trying to bridge the gap in the polarities, helping them find balance, helping them find a harmonic resonance in the center, you know, trying to find that balance point. So,
yeah, that's beautiful. Let's take a minute and break that down, because that is really an experience that I think really a lot of us are having.
Mm-hmm.
And some of us, you know, it's not that the better people have it sooner and other people have it later. It's really that we all have like a little clock inside of us. And according to our pre-birth contracts, there's a certain moment in which we wake up, and there's a reason for all of that that we will eventually know. At the time, of course, we don't know much, except that we better believe ourselves, because if we don't believe ourselves, then we're just stark, raving crazy. So
right.
We have to believe ourselves. But
right.
Just as you, I think many of us awakening ones are now, even if we've forgotten, we're now remembering all the imaginations that we had as a child and the times in our life when guidance came in and suddenly we knew this or we heard this voice.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of like that phase one that's like a silent phase that very often we don't recognize it. And so then when we do begin to recognize it, just like you said, that was my process and I think a lot of people's process, that we are drawn to sort of like write our history.
Mm-hmm.
And very often that history doesn't start with this birth. Very often that history starts with parallel realities.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had that experience as well? Or?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yes,
definitely.
Because
I've had stories going through my mind for years
yes.
before I even acknowledged that they were anything more than fantasy. And now looking back, I think, oh wow. Those were all
right,
me.
Because, yeah,
as we move
out of our consciousness begins to expand beyond, we don't really move out of the third dimension because clearly we're still here, but as our consciousness expands into the fourth dimension, then we start seeing all of our different parallel realities
mm-hmm.
that are all going on at the same time. So you want to share with us a couple of what your parallel realities were, maybe a couple of the first ones that popped up into your life? Or?
Oh, the first one is my favorite, I think, and I reminisce. This is the book that I wrote, the one that's the longest, my little novel.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not exactly sure where it took place, or it was definitely in a more recent time. It was in a modern time. It seemed, you know, 20th century, 21st century. And I was a woman who was part fae, who had embodied some fairy essence into her third dimensional life. And she had had a couple alternate realities where she had been able to cross, to pierce the veil and go into fairy. And she met and fell in love with an elven king who then, in this particular lifetime, sought her out to find her, to bring her home. And it's their love story. And it actually turned out to be my husband and my love story
yes.
in another realm.
Yes.
And
it's
pretty amazing. I've actually got four chapters of it written on my blog online right now, and I have about five or six notebooks filled. I just am not a very good typist. I don't enjoy typing, so it's not getting into the computer as quickly as I would like it to.
Well,
but,
this sounds a bit like a commercial, but I got that Dragon Speaks, and it is amazing. You can talk to the computer, and it types it in. That's all I'm using now. It is so
wow.
good.
That
so
sounds awesome.
A little bit of information for anyone, then you don't have to type, because the typing, you know, the reason why I was pulled to that was because now that our minds are really opening and we're really having multidimensional thinking, which clearly you are, we are getting more than one reality that's coming
mm-hmm.
in at the same time, and more than one sentence and more than one vision. And
mm-hmm.
the process of typing is so very third dimensional.
Oh, it's so,
you know,
it's just so difficult.
And all of that stuff. Whereas speech is also limiting because it's English and it's third dimensional, but it's still much faster than typing for most people.
Yeah. Yeah. I find that when I talk things through, I have these amazing aha moments and things just shift
right.
so quickly. And I think that's why I always talk to myself growing up. You know,
yeah.
my sister would walk into my room and she's like, "Who are you talking to?" And I would just be all
embarrassed.
Yeah. I'm like, "Oh, nobody. I'm not really talking." But that's it. I was just processing. And then I started writing, and I found that the writing helped a lot too because it really pulled it
yeah.
through. But the typing just doesn't work for me.
Well, the writing pulls it through, and also speaking it into something that saves it for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just went through a very intense experience, and I couldn't write because
mm-hmm.
I injured my arm. And so I have an iPhone, another advertisement. So I started speaking into the microphone, and
mm-hmm.
then you can email it to yourself and save it as an MP3.
Yeah.
And so then I could speak it, and then I could hear it again. And there's something about writing it down or typing it, if that's what people like to do, or speaking it in a way that saves it, that really grounds the process.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important for those of us that are awakening at the speed of light these days,
mm-hmm.
we have to stay grounded.
Yes.
Or A, we'll ascend and we'll leave, and we said we're going to stay with Gaia.
Mm-hmm.
Or B, we'll do things like fall and hurt themselves, which is what I did. So,
get into car accidents. And
you get, yeah, absolutely, because, you know, we're living in more than one reality, and
mm-hmm.
we're just remembering how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
We're just remembering how to do that.
Yeah.
Also, one of the processes that happens is that we become aware of our divine complement, because
mm-hmm.
as we move through the fourth dimension of our parallel realities, then we start entering the fifth dimension, and then we start remembering that we are a multidimensional androgynous being,
mm-hmm.
and there's more than one expression of us, and our divine complement is that other expression.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we'll often write books or have experiences. So did you and your husband, did he think that he was your divine complement? Or did you, I mean, how did that go down between the two of you? Did he know you were writing the book?
He knew I was writing the book, and he was really the only one that I would share it with. Because
mm-hmm.
I just wasn't ready to share it with anyone else, but I had to share it with someone. So
right.
I kind of you have to realize he was excited to read it, and we kept going back and forth. I would have moments where I would really feel like he was my divine complement, and then other moments when I felt that he wasn't. And we had this whole process started for me. One of my larger initiations, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
He and I were going through a horrible time. We were really on the brink of divorce. I had talked about leaving, and so we were having a very, very difficult time in our relationship. And my ultimatum was the impetus for his awakening.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started writing the book, and we started really just rediscovering our story and our lives, and it wasn't until that started in August, and it really wasn't until about a month ago when I finally came to the conclusion that yes, he is my divine complement.
Mm-hmm.
It took my mind that long to kind of wrap itself around the idea and to really own it and to embrace it, just accepting who he was and acknowledging who he is. I should
right.
say. And he said he always knew. He said he never had any doubts. So, you know, blessed be for him.
Well, you know, I think accepting who our divine complement is and letting them be themselves is a big part of it. I mean, I think people get very idealized about their, I know I've been living and being married to my divine complement for like 31 years, but it was a long time before I could ever think that, because I thought, well, no, my divine complement is in the spirit realm, And of course, yes, of course it is there as well. I wasn't into the fact that we lived multiple lives yet. I hadn't quite embraced the multidimensional consciousness concept.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, well, if my divine complement is up there, then it can't be down here, you know, at the same time.
Yes.
And then I thought, well, you know, I don't deserve it, or, you know, he shouldn't have these problems with these mighty vines. Isn't he my divine compliment?
Shouldn't he be better or something?
Shouldn't he be divine?
Shouldn't he be something?
Compliment means that we're divine when we're together in the fifth dimension. But down
here, yeah. Well, you know, we bring all of the judgments and our third dimensional judgments and fears into the relationship, and we, you know, we try to deny it because it's not perfect and it's not
exactly whatever
we think it should be, but it is exactly what it needs to be, and it's exactly what it is. It's just a beautiful thing, and you know, and we see the yuckiness in ourselves and them, and they mirror, you know, the mirror reflector game goes on, and so sometimes it's hard to stay in the love in all of that, but it's always
absolutely there. Yeah, because when a divine complement relationship, or twin flame as some people call it,
mm-hmm.
It's not an easy relationship because you're having a relationship with yourself.
Yeah.
So, you know, how often do we fight with ourselves, okay?
Yeah.
So we've got us fighting with ourselves, our divine complement fighting with themselves, and then the two of us are fighting. So
yeah.
It can be far more conflictual, but
yeah,
it's also far more intimate,
yeah,
and very deep, and it takes a while to figure it out, and you know, I've been married, like I said, for a long time, so now we've got it pretty figured out, but
mm-hmm.
we had some really tough times,
mm-hmm.
you know, when we were younger and, you know, weren't as awakened, and then there was children at home and all
mm-hmm.
those kinds of things, just more things to fight about,
right,
but
yeah.
You know, now we're all kind of calming down a bit. So
mm-hmm.
one of the things, when I talked before, you like took me in a little walk through your property. So I'm going to start like just a little bit to help the people kind of relax and tune into their higher consciousness. And then could you take us on a little guided tour through your property?
Sure.
Okay. All right, so I'm just going to ask everybody to just take a long, slow moment. Take a long breath and breathe it down deep into the body of Gaia and relax. And as you inhale, take that breath that you shared with Gaia and follow it down into the core of her body. And as you go into the body of Gaia, you feel all of the energies from all over her planet, all the different types of humans, all the different types of animals, all the different types of insects and plants. And then you can also feel the fourth dimensional beings, all the elementals and the salamanders and the undines, the sylphs and the gnomes, all interacting, and at the same time, you're feeling these beautiful sparks of light of where the fifth dimension is already intermingling its essence into the core of Gaia. And with our consciousness, we take a moment, we're going to stir this divine soup, and we allow it to come in through our feet, and up past our ankles, and up our calves, past our knees and our thighs, into our first chakra, and into our very core, and up past our second chakra and our navel and our solar plexus, and into our heart chakra. We'll open up the heart, open up our heart, this beautiful journey that Maria is going to share with us. And we'll take a moment as well to pull that energy up past our throat chakra and into our open third eye so that we can see the beautiful reality at the same time
that we feel it in our heart. Okay, are you ready, tour guide?
Sure. I'm at the back of my property now, and I'm entering into what we call our sacred grove, and it's a canopy of lilac bushes that are ancient, and it creates a beautiful path that has dappled sunlight coming through. The sun is shining down on the lilacs, allowing their fragrance to fill this grove, this cove that we like to come into. We walk along, we see the beautiful herbs, Mother Nature's healing gift to us, coming up from the earth. We have dead nettle, stinging nettle, chickweed, dandelion, it's all here. As I walk, I come to what I call my heart branch. And it's a beautiful tree. I'm not even sure what kind it is, but it's lowered its branch to my heart level. And I come in here and I commune with it, looking out over the field behind my property, watching the deer. And as I kiss my branch every morning, I duck underneath her, and I come out to a very small sacred circle, which is encased in lilacs once again, but also staghorn sumac and Chinese elms. And I look over the field. And I just take in the beauty of the land that's surrounding me in the woods, and I feel the presence of my fairy friends and of all of life here on the property. And as I leave my beautiful grove, I come back out into my yard, and we have a sacred healing circle that we've created for ritual and for play. And we like to come out here and have drum circles and healing light circles where we call all light workers who are in our area to come and be with us and to learn and to heal and to really fully embody their gift and learn about what their gift is in this ascension process and what their role is in helping Gaia and Gaia's people and beings ascend. So our circle, it's not big, but it's beautiful, and the Fae have built me a beautiful fifth-dimensional crystal temple in the center of my circle. It is all light, and I have to stop and pause and take a deep breath, raising my essence and my vibration just enough so that I can enter in. We are now in the center of the temple, by the fire pit, and I'm surrounded by beautiful crystal beings. I like to take deep breaths when I'm in my temple. It's a beautiful place. I come out here in the morning to do yoga and to meditate, and this is where I do my healing. Most of my healing work with myself is when I'm in my crystal temple. I'm able to commune with my higher selves much better when I'm in my crystal temple. I'm going to take a deep breath in and exit my temple. Have my great big nettles patch and my rhubarb patch out here in one of our gardens. And my raspberry patch. I shouldn't fail to mention our beautiful raspberries. But I love my stinging nettles the best. They're such a healing gift from Gaia. And a beautiful maple tree. And sugar maple. And then we have the play area. My daughter has her swing set. And the dogs get to run and play. We're going to be putting up a fence so that they can all be safe and free. And we, on the left-hand side over here, I'm coming up to our duck and chicken pen, where our beautiful creatures get to range and roam and eat bugs and be in the sun and enjoy their life. We have a nice big pool there for them to play in, for the ducks. The chickens don't like the pool. And then across from that, we have our organic garden. And right now, I have my garlic coming up, and my sugar snap peas, and my shell peas, and I've got a big patch of red Russian kale, and my beautiful lavender. My comfrey's trying to come up, and the oregano. That's all I have in right now. It's still early in Michigan. And then we're in our near backyard. We have my beautiful pear tree, which the Fae love. They spend a lot of time flitting around my beautiful pear tree when it's full of fruit. And we have a lovely dogwood that is probably about 3 weeks away from blooming. And everything else is just bursting to life.
A wonderful time of the year now for you because everything is just blooming, like starting to open up, right?
Yeah, it's getting ready. It's staying kind of chilly here right now. We get these moments of warmth, and then it just kind of drops back down. Like today I have my winter coat on. It's sunny and beautiful, but it's chilly.
Right, exactly. Yes. Well, and there's a rooster.
There's the rooster. That's Butter.
And so let's everyone just take a moment and just pretend that this is your yard in some fashion, and you can make whatever alterations that you wish to. And you can create, even if you live in an apartment or if you live in the desert or you live in a boat, you can create an ethereal yard. You can create a fourth dimensional yard. That will be your gateway to move into your fifth dimensional reality. You can all have your chickens. You hear them over there, that rooster doing his thing.
Yeah.
I bet he wakes you up every morning.
You know, we can't hear him. The hen house is set far enough away from the house that we can't hear him until we let him out or we come outside.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
And so, as we are going through our process of awakening and we are making a conscious choice that we are ascending and we're ascending with Gaia, then we begin to look at the land on which we live in a very different fashion, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a little bit about how your process was for that?
Oh, it's been ongoing, I think, for a couple of years. We've been on this property probably for about 5 years now, 5-6 years. And I've always gardened organically, so I've always had that awareness in my practices with the earth. But I really feel that it's deepening. It's going beyond organic farming. It's more about a reconnection with the earth itself,
mm-hmm.
and an awareness and an acknowledgement that she is a living, breathing being, that she is a part of us. And
mm-hmm.
what we do to her body, we do to our own. And literally, figuratively, in any way you want to think about it, you know?
Right.
So it's really been... It's my gardening has turned from a kind of mechanical, organic standpoint to more of a devotion. You know, I have just come to just have such a deep love and respect for my land, and that's how I approach everything that I do, what I plant, what I harvest, how I do it. Everything is a devotion. Everything is done in ritual. Everything is done with love and respect. And permission, you know,
mm-hmm.
there's been a lot of asking permission that hasn't happened in the past, and
right.
I'm really trying to install that in my daughter. She's 7, and she likes to pick everything, you know, and
mm-hmm.
she's a little girl. She loves to pick flowers, but
yeah.
You know, I have to convey to her, I'm like, the flower is a living being, my love. She is a part of our Gaia. And she is a child of Gaia. And just as you would not like to be plucked at your moment of birth and taken away, perhaps the flower doesn't want that either. Maybe you should talk with the flower and see if the flower wants to be picked. And
mm-hmm.
so there's a lot of permission and awareness around the consciousness of all mm-hmm. of creation, not just the ones that can talk and drive cars.
Right. And once we are a part of Gaia and Gaia is a part of us, then everyone, everything can talk.
Yeah.
It doesn't. They don't all speak English, but
yeah.
we can get a sense of them.
Right.
And I, with myself, I mean, I'm like you. I've always loved planting. I've always loved flowers. I always had growing things. I always had houseplants. If I had any kind of yard at all, I planted things in it. And always did that, always loved it. But I was also very busy with my doing. And I had mm-hmm. to do this and do that and do the other and do the other. And so, you know, the time that I had to actually put into the land was diminished because I had so much doing. And
sure.
I would always take out time in the spring to, like, renew my year and get new pots and get new plants and, you know, mm-hmm. do all of that. Recently, as I'm coming more into a being mode, I'm doing much the same thing, but with a different kind of attitude, like you said, that
mm-hmm.
we are all one. And I really feel that my yard is like, it's fairy.
Mm-hmm.
And I have lots of flowers in my yard, and I wanted lots of flowers because the fairies love flowers. Flowers love fairies. And,
yeah.
You know, it grounds that energy and it brings that energy to Gaia. And I've been growing edible foods, too, for the first mm-hmm. time. I don't have as much space as you and not as much sun, but, you know, we're still having fun with it.
It's a challenge no matter where you garden because our soil is almost pure sand because we're so close to Lake Michigan. So that's been a big challenge, but that, too, is kind of coming into a very healing place for me. I always thought, oh, I can't grow anything in this soil. It's all sand. And it's like, well, look at what
uh-huh.
naturally grows here and kind of go with that. Listen to
mm-hmm.
what Gaia wants to put here.
And, exactly.
You know, and go with that kind of flow. Don't go against it. Don't try and make it something that it's not. You know, you have to just accept it and love it for what it is. And it is what it is, and it's a part of you, and so it's going to give you exactly what you need. You just have to open your awareness to that. You know, it's
yeah.
like other people uh-huh. would rip out the dandelions and rip out the Creeping Charlie. I love the Creeping Charlie. It is the most beautiful. It's like this purple carpet underneath my blackberry bushes, you know, and the
mm-hmm.
and the whole huge nettle patch, that stinging nettle patch that sprung up in my garden. It's
mm-hmm.
a beautiful gift. It's a beautiful gift that's helped me heal so much stress in my body. And, you know, my hair
mm-hmm.
was falling out from stress. And you know, and it's just like the stinging nettles every day, just drinking it as a tea has just calmed my adrenals and just brought me to a place of balance. And that was Gaia's gift to me. She put that there for me, you know. And I just had to open up and receive her gifts instead of, you know, spraying it with some toxic chemical to make it go away because it hurts when you touch it.
It's interesting because, and I can't remember which guru it was an Indian guru, and there was this whole story about his final initiation and
mm-hmm.
how he got down to, he had a rock and he had his loincloth and he had a wooden bowl and the only thing there was a nettle patch by a little patch of water. And so he made nettle tea, and that's all he ate. And he turned a little green because all he ate was a nettle tea.
Yeah.
And then one day he was rushing down to get his nettle tea, and he fell, and his wooden bowl broke.
Oh, no.
And then he couldn't even have that. And so then he went back to his place where he meditated, and that's when he ascended.
Mm.
So when you tell that story about the nettle patch, and as he ascended, his chelas could feel it at that moment of ascension, and they came and, you know, got his body and, you know, did all the necessary ceremonies. And it was one of the people in the Yogananda line. I'm sorry, I can't remember what his name is, but
mm-hmm.
One of his predecessors.
Mm-hmm.
But so, and now we will look at nettles and say, oh, those sticky things. But, you know, everything is beautiful if we
everything
can see
is.
The beauty in it.
Mm-hmm. Everything
and then
is.
The other thing, yeah, the other thing that happens is that whenever we heal any darkness inside of ourselves, this is what I've been really getting very clearly, darkness, fear, the same, you know, light, love, darkness, fear. And actually darkness is just 0% light and fear
mm-hmm.
is 0% love. And so unconditional love is 100% love, 100%
mm-hmm.
light. Because that fear and darkness is an illusion that only really happens on the third dimension, and on the fourth. But when we ascend to the fifth, that's not going to be a part of our reality.
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever we release our own darkness, our own fear, then we release it for everyone and everything on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you've been doing a lot of that. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I've been actively seeking out my darkness in these past few weeks. People think I'm crazy, but you know, I really feel it. I almost feel like it's my duty to seek out my darkness.
I understand. Uh-huh.
You know, it's part of my mission. It's part of why I'm here. And I made a conscious pledge to myself in a meditation that I created a light channel into the lower astral, and I invited all of my dark parts home. I invited them all home to come to me,
mm-hmm.
to show me their lessons, to teach me, to help me heal, and so that I can, you know, bring them into love.
Yeah.
And they have been. And it's kind of funny, until this morning I was almost feeling just a tinge arrogant about it, because I'm like, oh, this is easy, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, and then, oh my, I just got kicked in the butt this morning, and I needed an extra hour before talking to you to pull myself together.
Just because we think it's easy, oh boy, it's not quite so easy anymore, is it?
I know, it's like it should be a warning. I always know when one of my guides said, okay, it's going to be okay. Whenever I hear that in my head, I thought, oh dear goddess, what am I in for now?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Whenever they tell me it's going to be okay, don't worry, I brace myself. But yeah, this, you know, this morning I went into meditation, and I was feeling a lot of anger coming up in my waking life,
mm-hmm.
because I do a lot of my outreach and a lot of my I post a lot of my stuff on Facebook to try and, you know, just to network and to get the message out. And everything that's going on right now, there's just so much fear, there's so much anger, and there's so many people that are still so trapped in this polarity and the illusion that is the third dimension.
Yeah.
And they just,
mm-hmm.
and it, instead of feeling compassion for them, I was just feeling this intense amount of anger. And I realized that must be a part of me that was still feeling all of that as well, that I wasn't able to see or own. And when I went into meditation today, she came to me. And it was from an Atlantean lifetime, and where I just made some not-so-wise choices. And I
mm-hmm.
allowed fear and rage to come into my heart. And I did some bad things. And I had to fix it, so to speak. I had to go and find her and help her find her way back. And
mm-hmm.
and I needed that extra hour to do that. And I did.
Well,
I was really close when I called you. I was really close. I was trembling. I was so close. And I just couldn't think of anything else. And so I was very thankful when you offered me that extra hour. And then I just went back into bed. I just wrote it all out. And she found her resolution, and she was able to then turn around and offer it to the five beings that had basically murdered her daughter and her
mm-hmm.
in that
yeah.
life. And she brought them into her heart and into the light, and as well as herself. So it was really lovely.
Well, what's happening now is that we're all of us light workers, especially the light workers. The light workers, we're really having our big initiations now in 2011, so that when 2012 comes and whenever that time, because there is no time in reality, but whenever that real transition actually happens, the light workers, they've been through a lot, and they're feeling pretty good about themselves, you know. And so the light workers were going through these final initiations, and basically what that is that we are going into our deepest, darkest fears and going into all of our darkness and releasing and releasing and healing and healing and really learning unconditional love and learning to love ourselves unconditionally. That's the biggest challenge.
It is.
Yes. So it's, you know, and it's really how we look at it. If we look at it like, oh, this is really a hard time, you know, then it is a really hard time. But if you look at it of, wow, this is a challenging initiation, okay, then at least we know we're having an initiation.
Yeah.
And we know that, you know, just like you have stated, you know, you have asked for this. This is an initiation that you have volunteered for.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of us are going back to Atlantis because the energy is kind of in a circle now. We've, you know, that this was a time when a lot of us volunteered to come because Gaia almost died at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of us came from our galactic families and our galactic homeworlds and took incarnation on Gaia's body. And when we did that, we were in for the duration. So we've been on that wheel of life. And we've had some ascension lives where we got to go home for a bit, a quick little visit. But
a little recharge.
Yes, a little recharge, exactly, a vacation home to our family. But, you know, now, you know, our contract is fulfilling, and I think I'm going to hang around for the fifth-dimensional Earth for a while. I want to see how this fills out as much as I would like to return to those higher frequencies. But what I've heard is that, and what I've been experiencing is that we don't really have to choose because then we're multidimensional.
Right. Yeah, you can pop, you know, whatever you focus, that's where you are.
That's right. And so we're able to hold many, many realities in our consciousness at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like now we can talk on the phone and do the dishes and talk to somebody else and feed the cat and change the television set. We can do all these things at the same time, and it's not difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But each one of those will be like a whole, you know, different frequency, different signature frequency of a reality.
Mm-hmm.
So I can imagine it, but I can't quite know it yet.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had any experiences of actually knowing that?
I don't know if I have. I think there are times when, you know, I feel my other realities, but they're all still very third dimensional realities. So, you know, I haven't had any deep, profound connections out there in the higher dimensions where it's just where I've, you know, had many at once. But you know, within this dimension, I have been able to walk around for weeks at a time, kind of having kind of my own life and then the two other ones kind of, you know, going on at the same time. And I don't know how well I handle that.
multiple realities, one-on-one.
Yeah, it's definitely a challenge. I know that, you know, you know, I don't do a whole lot when I'm in that place, when everything is kind of up like that. I kind of stay really close to home, which I have a tendency to do anyway. But I don't even really do shopping or anything like that. I just kind of tend to the needs of the home and let my husband bring home food that we need or whatever we need.
Well, that's wonderful to have a companion that can help you when you're in that place. So
it's been a very, very profound gift to be able to just be here and focus, you know, because what he always says, this is your job. You know, he's like, it's my job too. And he said, but my other job is to take care of you so that you can do this. And so I've been very blessed.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Well, it was great talking to you. In closing, can you tell the people how they can get in touch with you, with your blog, with your Facebook? Can you?
Yeah, I have two blogs. The one that has the story on it and other essays is called intothecontfluence.org. So intothecontfluence.org. And my other blog is called guerrillalovefair.blogspot.com. And that's really my call to action blog. That's where I kind of try and get people into spiritual anarchy, you know, and really consciously spreading the love and kind of dropping love bombs on people. And so that's guerrillalovefair.blogspot.com.
And how do you spell that first one? What's that first one?
The first one, Into the Confluence, is intothecontfluence.org.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Guerrilla Love Fair is GuerrillaLoveFare.blogspot.com.
Okay. Well, thank you
and,
so much.
Yeah, you can contact me through either one of those. Either one of those, you can sign up and have them come into your inbox. And I try and put pretty much everything I'm experiencing down there as much as I can get typed into the computer.
Well, I think that it's good for us. I think it's really good for those of us that feel at all inclined to share our experiences, because I know back when I was first waking up, any time I could get a book or an article of somebody that was having a spiritual experience, I wanted to read it because I knew that I wasn't crazy. This breakdown, I was having a spiritual awakening.
Yes, I know that finding your website was one was a very powerful moment for both my husband and myself. We've learned a lot from your work and your process, and we are very deeply appreciative and have a lot of gratitude for you and all the work that you've done.
Oh, thank you, and I'll be sharing my audio book since I couldn't write or type what this last process was. So. Well, thank you so much, Maria. I really enjoyed talking with you again.
Thank you.
And maybe we'll talk again sometime soon.
We will, I'm sure.
Okay, talk to you later.
Thank you, Sue. Bright blessings.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.